We are studying the Christian life as the goal of discipleship. That is to build a new life around Jesus Christ. Any sort of rebuilding requires the appropriate tools, and we're looking at a few of them, and today we do start a short series on prayer. There's just so much we can say about prayer. We're going to do the best we can. His disciples asked Jesus how to pray. They asked him to teach them how to pray. This doesn't imply that they had never prayed before, but simply they wanted to know how to pray well. And in response, Jesus gave them what we call the Lord's Prayer. There are two versions of it. The one in Matthew is the most comprehensive, and that's what we're going to look at today. We'll just begin where Jesus began in the text. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you that they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Most Bible versions, modern Bible versions, will leave off the doxology that we often recite, thine is the kingdom and so on. Best Bible scholarship seems to say that that wasn't part of the original text. I use it when I recite the Lord's Prayer because that is part of the solidarity that the entire Christian church shares it that way. It's part of our tradition, but we're not going to deal with that today. Did you know that we need to learn how to pray? Many Christians do not know that. I didn't know it for a while. I just thought you just talk to God, and that's all there was to it. Many just let other people pray for them, say at church or whatever, because they're afraid or they're shy. Many breeze into God's presence as if it were like he was just like anybody else. Well, as a matter of fact, we can and we should take advantage of the amazing access we have to God in Christ. And on the one hand, we should never lose the ability to simply, as it were, crawl up into God's lap and just be and talk to him. But on the other hand, we should also be maturing and we should be growing up in our faith. I think of the Apostle John, how in just a couple of sentences in the same text, he addresses three levels of spiritual maturity. He talks about fathers, those who are mature. He talks about young men, those who are vigorously growing. He talks about children whose experience is at the basic level. As children of God, enjoy being lifted up by your Heavenly Father. Never lose that. But as young people, we also want to enjoy taking on new challenges as he cheers us on, expanding in our understanding and our experience. And as mature adults, we want to enjoy a fellowship with God that's wise, that's thoughtful, and that's deep. And so the point I'm trying to make is that there's nothing wrong with praying just whatever comes into your head. Enjoy the spontaneity, enjoy the freedom of a child. But there is no virtue in simply remaining childish. Because we enjoy our children at all ages, do we not? Not only when they are toddlers, but also when they're teens, bursting with energy and potential. And we love to be alongside cheering them. And then also when, like my daughter, when they're fully grown and they have matured into friends. Prayer parallels our spiritual development. Prayer is meant to grow as we grow. Actually, it's a prime tool of growth. If we remain childish and never grow, God is robbed of the fellowship that he desires and that he deserves. He never gets to cheer us on through big challenges, to master abilities, to achieve things for him. He never gets to relax and just talk to us as friends. And I say all this to introduce this passage. Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer to teach us how to grow and develop in our prayers. I find it helpful to think of the Lord's Prayer as a spiritual gymnasium. Think of a modern fitness center. You pay a professional to analyze your physical potential and your deficiencies, and then design a program to help you maximize your physical or your athletic ability. And you have a variety of apparatus to choose from, and you probably will use more than one if you're in a program. Or you might include other exercises like yoga or tai chi or dancing or whatever. But you've got treadmills for cardio, you've got weight training of all kinds, you've got balance devices, it's all there. That's exactly how I think of the Lord's Prayer. We use it and recite it together to express our solidarity as Christians. But it's given to us to be a spiritual training center for prayer. Each line is a different apparatus to exercise with. It's not a prayer that we pray generally on a day-to-day basis when we're praying to God and asking for things and dealing with life, but it's a prayer that we use to learn how to pray. I came to this awareness first, not with, through the fitness center. I really came to this awareness watching this, American Ninja Warrior. Now, for some of you have no idea what this is, all right? I can tell some of you do also. American Ninja Warrior is a contest in which top athletes do things that nobody in their right mind would ever do. Almost impossible individual athletic challenges. And they do it for the same reason we went to the moon, as the President Kennedy said, not because it's easy, but because it's hard. Challenges come in all varieties on that contest. Some require ankle strength, some require arm strength, some require hand grip strength, some require balance, some you're actually flying through the air. And when you fall, you unceremoniously land in a pool of water, which is humbling, but it's relatively safe and it's fun. Now, what actually happens in one of these competitions, if you ever watch one, is that almost everybody falls in the water. Because while most contestants are very good at several things and may be excellent at one or two things, very few are masters of all things. And it's quite an accomplishment just to finish the course, regardless of how long it takes you. And to prepare for competition, people train. They train all year. There are special professional training centers, but people also put up stuff in their basement, in their backyard. They even use the house. And they do this all year long. I know at least one family in SBEP that has some of these training stuff in their backyard. Their last name starts with Hoover. Now, when you're training, you don't actually create the challenges that you're going to use because they keep coming up with new ones. What you do is you create different apparatus that strengthen different skills. You'll have something that'll just work on your grip strength, or something that'll work on your balance, or something that'll work on your acrobatics. Because the idea is you need to develop those skills that you can use for any conceivable challenge. And then you can especially practice the things that you need most to strengthen and work on. Now, that is my model for the Lord's Prayer. That's how I understand it. The Lord's Prayer is given to us as a fitness and training center. It's a collection of apparatus that we can use to grow in various skills that are necessary for prayer. It isn't the prayer that you pray. The Lord's Prayer isn't the prayer that you pray during the day when you're praying three or four times about different things. It's the prayer that you work hard to train on so that you're ready for any challenge, so that you'll have the skills you need to pray well, no matter what happens. The Lord's Prayer gives us training that's free, it's always available, it's simple. You can practice as much as you like. The Holy Spirit is our personal coach, and you will get out of it exactly what you put into it. Let me quickly run through the apparatus in this amazing spiritual fitness center. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, this apparatus is about who God is, which we need to know if we're going to pray. The name of God represents who God is. He has two proper names in Scripture, Yahweh and Jesus, but he has a number of other role names, like the one here, Father, Shepherd, Helper, Lord of Hosts, Lord of Armies, the Lord who provides, the Lord who sees. There are dozens and dozens of names for God in the Bible. Every line of the Lord's Prayer comes with an implied challenge, some kind of a handle you're supposed to grab a hold of and use. This challenge is to honor God's name. Now, if you just recite the prayer and not think about God's names and not think about how you would honor them, you're just looking at the apparatus. But we're supposed to use it to exercise a skill. Who is God that you're praying to? What is his name? How do I honor it? This prayer simply states that God's name ought to be honored. So as I pray this, as I use this piece of equipment, I have to actually honor God's name somehow. Think about who he is and think about how I honor it. And Jesus gives us a name to start with, Father. That's our fundamental name as we're his children. How do I honor God as my Father? If you sat down with two friends and a sheet of paper, in 1 hour, you would fill that paper up with ways that you could honor God as your Father. In prayer, you must actually do it. Choose something. Do it. What would you say to your Father to honor him? Words of respect, words of thanks, words of deference, words of love, words of promise. Would you seek advice? When we pray in real time, when we pray in life's challenges, we need to know who God is. Yes, he is our Father. What does that mean? What can I ask of my Father? And how about the dozens of other names that he has? How do we honor God as our king, as our trainer, as our physician, as our big brother? All the roles of God that are attributed to him in the Bible. The better I know who God is, the better I can pray in any situation. The more we exercise on this first piece of apparatus, the better we get to know God. If all you do is to recite the words of the Lord's Prayer without thinking about what they mean, without working on what it means, exploring, lifting up examples, it's almost like talking about a great piece of exercise equipment in your house. Talking about it, not using it. Let me tell you, I have got a NordicTrack elliptical ACT Commercial 7. It's got a center flywheel. It's got super electronics. I can virtually walk around my neighborhood. I can walk around any city in the world. But I have never benefited from that thing just by talking about it or reciting its specifications. It's helping me now because I use it. Father, your name should be honored. That's one of the specifications for a good prayer. And we can pray good prayers, not so good prayers, or better prayers. To grow in praying, I need to practice praying according to this specification and actually honor God's name when I pray. The Lord's Prayer gives us this spiritual apparatus to be used so that when I need to pray, I'll know who I'm praying to. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is about God's purpose. This is about God's will. The kingdom of God expresses the fundamental order of the universe. God created all things for his own purposes, not all things for a purpose. All things for his purpose. God created, maintains, and interacts with all things for his own purposes. And we call this planet fallen because the caretakers of this planet, us, rebelled. And we took over as if we created ourselves. We have no responsibility to anybody else, and all things exist for whatever we want it to be. Now, God's rule has not ceased because humanity refuses to acknowledge it. But while God is graciously calling rebels back, he allows us to reject him. God's kingdom will be restored completely when Christ returns. But the process of his kingdom being restored began when he first came. God's kingdom has broken into this rebellious world in Christ. How so? Where do you see it? You see the kingdom of God wherever God's people accomplish his will, on earth as it is in heaven. We are living proof that the kingdom has broken into this world. This piece of spiritual apparatus is about aligning our purpose and our will with God's purposes and will. Because prayer is not meant to be a wish list of things we want God to do for us, as if we're the Lord's and he's the servant. Mature prayer always seeks God's will now. Even as the world rejects him, we're calling down his power now. But what is his will? What are God's purposes? Like the first line, this one demands an exercise of our faith. We have to exercise it. God's will be done. Where? How? What good is it to say that you want God's will if you never ask for it to override every other consideration? I know what I want out of life today. What does God want out of life today? When I pray this prayer, I need to exercise my faith to give some examples. And again, you could sit with two friends in an hour. You could fill up a sheet of paper with what God wants. And if you can't think of very much, then just use the prayers of the New Testament for inspiration, because you're not going to find there a whole lot about what the apostles wanted. They're going to pray an awful lot about what God wants. In real life, when I pray, I must seek God's will because he's God. Remember the first thing we talked about, to honor him. God's preeminence is easy for us to forget. And in the pressure of the moment, it's hard to apply. But every challenge I face is another opportunity to work at God's side to accomplish something he wants. And the more I exercise on this piece of spiritual apparatus, the more familiar I am with praying God's will, and the easier it gets to be God's partner in this world. Give us today our daily bread. This is, prayer is supposed to be about provision. Because we're creatures, we need for God to provide for us. That's not a weakness. It just means we aren't God. God made us. He designed us. We're designed to find our needs met in him. Prayer is about seeking from God what we need. And since what we need changes, we had to practice on this equipment so that we know what to ask for. Note, it says daily bread. Bread, surely, that stands for everything we need, not just bread, but water, shelter, clothing, work, relationships, everything we actually need. Daily, that's the challenge part. I need to ask God for what I need today. I have to ask him for what I need today. Not tomorrow, not the next day, but right now. I don't need tomorrow's provision till tomorrow. I'm not even sure what I'm going to need tomorrow until tomorrow. Jesus said focusing on God's provision for tomorrow is so counterproductive, it'll cause you anxiety. That doesn't mean we don't plan. We plan. We plan what we anticipate we're going to do. But daily bread deals with God's provision today, what he's going to do. This piece of apparatus strengthens several spiritual muscle groups having to do with my surroundings and my situation. To pray this prayer intelligently, I have to distinguish needs from wants. I have to recognize these challenges that I've been ignoring because I need God's provision for them, and I haven't been asking for it. I have to recognize challenges I've taken on, which I shouldn't take on, and I don't need provision for something that God hasn't asked me to do. Exercise on this apparatus teaches me to be thankful. God always gives me what I need. He's even been faithful to give me things I haven't asked for properly. It teaches me to anticipate God's faithfulness, to look forward to every day, to look forward to every challenge, expecting God to be there before me, having already anticipated what I need, providing it when I need it. This is a multi-purpose apparatus. Incredible. Prayer is about God's provision. And this is where I learned about thanksgiving, contentment, expectation, anticipation, and the limits of my calling. It's a lot. Prayer is about my relationship with others. Forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. God only entertains my prayers when I am reconciled to my brothers and sisters. Yes, if I'm in Christ, all of my sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. But if I expect God to listen to my prayers today, I must forsake all condemnation. All of it. No exceptions. Now, to some, I think that's kind of unrealistic. If you only knew what I have to endure. Well, just try explaining that to the one who's put up with you and borne your every sin and forgiven more offenses from you than you could ever possibly experience from others. You cannot get past this station in the gym without getting your heart right, without confessing on a daily basis all the acid that has come out of your mind and out of your mouth since you last prayed, all the condemnation thinly veiled behind your speech and your social media posts. If you need to forgive, you need to forgive, or you're going to disqualify all of your prayers. All the prayers I have ever prayed with hatred in my heart, with a judgmental spirit in my heart toward anyone, those prayers have been laid aside. They are too offensive for God to touch. God never stops loving me, but do you continue a conversation with a beloved child if he or she starts to use profanity? Or do you first deal with the profanity and then finish the conversation? It is profane for redeemed sinners to treat others with less grace than we have received. In the heat of real life, forgiveness is hard stuff. And that's why Christ urges us to practice it. Practice it. Use the Lord's Prayer. And every time you pray this line, the question hangs in the air, who must I forgive right now? The way I want God to forgive me. Even if you want to pray about something entirely different than your broken relationship, God will lay your prayer aside if you will not forgive a brother or sister. Let's spend some time exercising here every day, so that when I need God to hear me, no unforgiving spirit in me is going to put my prayer aside until I deal with it. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Prayer involves our character. It involves who we are. We practice honoring the name of God so we know how to respect the person we're praying to. We also have to respect the person that we are, the person that God intends for us to be. I do think that evil should be translated the evil one. Satan is the tempter. Satan is out to warp our character by getting us to believe lies about God and us so that we're supposed to be in God's image, but we become twisted and we become disfigured. That's how Satan destroys nations. That's how Satan undermines the work of the church. It's through lies. You're going to have certain ministry efforts that are very important to you. Programs in the church or the parachurch, the small program of God that someone would reach your child with the gospel, for example. And you'll probably pray for great success in those endeavors, which is fine. But Jesus says, pray for the character of those who are involved. If they fall into temptation, they will never get that ministry you want off the ground the way it should be. You're going to want to be personally successful in some ministry or another. And you probably pray for success. But Jesus says, pray for your character. Pray for your integrity and your purity and your loyalty and your endurance and your honesty to day-to-day defeat Satan's efforts. Defeating him depends on that. And the stronger you get in praying against a variety of temptations, the more effective your prayers will be in spiritual warfare. The Lord's Prayer is a spiritual fitness center. Our prayer must be ready for an infinite number of opportunities and crises. No two people pray alike. No, you don't pray the same prayer exactly in different circumstances. But all prayer depends on certain basic skills. And we need to get strong or be strong or get strong in each one. Because no matter what we're praying about, we need to honor God. Well, and no matter what we're praying about, we need to seek his will. And no matter what we're praying about, we need to gratefully use what he's given us and not complain about what we don't have. And whatever we pray about, we have to be free from being weighed down or tripped up by a proud, unforgiving spirit. And whatever we pray about, we need to avoid all the temptations that Satan has designed to make us fall. What good is offering a passionate prayer to God about something very, very important, except, well, I'm not really trying to honor him, am I? Or I'm ignoring a proud spirit here, or indulging a temptation here. What good is praying a prayer that's impressive in every way, except, I guess I'm not really seeking God's will, am I? God doesn't expect perfection. Christ gave him perfection. He wants us to grow. He wants us to lift up prayers he can happily and powerfully answer. He wants to raise up a cheer the way they do when a contestant makes it all the way through that incredible course. Yes, you've got it. I know you've worked hard and you have practiced hard. You know how to pray. You watch how I answer. Mission for the week, if we're interested, let's exercise our prayer skills. Exercise. None of us were born or born again strong in prayer. In part, it's a set of skills that we need to learn. Let the Holy Spirit use the Lord's Prayer to train you. You will be amazed at what you can accomplish. All you have to do is show up at the gym every day and pray. Heavenly Father, I look at athletic champions and I wonder how I could ever be like them. And I look at mature Christians, people who truly know you well, know who you are, work with you closely, live contented, joyful lives, without animosity toward others and with genuinely good character. Not perfect, but better than me. And I wonder how I can ever be like them. But you've told us clearly in your word that while physical training is of some value, spiritual training is good in every way, for this life and the life to come. And so we all thank you for this spiritual gym that your son constructed for us. One that's helpful even if we're out of shape, and that will make us a little stronger each time we exercise with it. We're going to do that right now as we come to your table. Would you coach us as we go through that prayer together? Would you encourage us? Would you let us know what in particular you would like to work on with us by your Spirit? Hear us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.